Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. We will be wrapping up our message series, Set Free, to Live Free, 10 Steps to True Freedom today. And we get to the 10th in the 10 Commandments. Let's receive the word. It's from Exodus chapter 20. Hear the word of the Lord. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. First commandment. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything. Second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Fourth commandment. Honor your father and mother. Fifth commandment, you shall not murder. Sixth, you shall not commit adultery. Seventh, you shall not steal. Eighth, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And the last and the tenth commandment. Let's read it together in one voice. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, we do worship you and you alone. Now, anoint the ears of the hearers. Anoint the hearts of the audience in this platform. Anoint the volition, the will of everyone who is receiving your words of freedom. To your glory, we ask it in the name of Christ. And God's people said, Amen. The theme and the goal is this. Jesus set you free to be content in Him. Christ Himself, the Creator God, the Redeemer God, the Sustainer God. He does what? He sets you free so that you may be content in Him. We've been saying all along in this series, the Ten Commandments do not set people free. The Ten Commandments show what free people look like. Remember this? We do not set ourselves free by observing and obeying these commandments. Rather, Jesus Christ, by His act of grace and power and truth, He sets you free, period, before you observe any of these. Because now you are set free, you live abiding, celebrating within these commandments. And as you do that, people see you as free people. The Ten Commandments, when the Lord God Almighty set people free, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Remember the verse 1? I am the Lord your God. He declares Himself, He gives His identity, the Lord God Almighty, your God. And then He explains His acts of grace. I brought you out of Egypt, from the land of slavery. You are free. And the Bible says, if Christ set you free, you are indeed free. He set you free first. And now we live in that freedom as we abide, obey the Ten Commandments. And some of you are saying, you know, I just hate rules. I don't like regulations. I want to be free. Listen to Tim Keller's quote. True freedom is not the absence of constraints or rules and regulations, but rather true freedom is the presence of liberating constraints, rules, and regulations. We are most free as we abide, adhere to the rules, the regulations, better word, commandments of the Lord God Almighty. Because this is how He made us. He said, you will be most free as you live in this boundaries, in this confinements, in this land of freedom. So let's get to the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. That word, covet, we don't use that, do we? We rarely do. The only time that I hear this is when people say, I would covet your prayer. meaning I would really desire, I would really, really appreciate, I really want, need your prayer. I would covet your prayers. So this word, covet, let's unpack that. In Hebrew, it's kamad, kamad. Say that with me, kamad. It means to take pleasure in or to desire, to want, or to delight. I appreciate that. And also to covet. All those words are positive. They are good, good verbs. Something good, something life-giving, something that flourish life. However, it can be used for negativity. Now, let me take you to what I have gleaned and learned in my preparation. Many Bible scholars and commentaries, they agree on this. The first commandment and the 10th commandment are really the same thing, expressed, articulated differently. What's the first one? You shall have no other gods before me or beside me, right? Me alone, the Lord says, I am, and only I am your Lord God. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, is the same expression in different words. Same, thereafter the same thing, and in different articulations. So let me take you to Colossians chapter 3. What does it mean to covet? What is covetousness? Why is it so wrong? Colossians chapter 3. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and, say it together, what's the word? Covetousness. Because covetousness is a form of idolatry. Idolatry. And that's what the first commandment is all about. You shall have no other gods. You shall not have any other idols before me or beside me or alongside me. I am the Lord your God. And covetousness is a form of idolatry. Interesting. Thought-provoking. Let me take you to John Piper's quote. He explains this way. He says this is why covetousness is so, so harmful and evil and dangerous. I quote, covetousness is desiring something so much that we lose our contentment in God or our satisfaction in God. Or it is our losing contentment, satisfaction in God, so that we start to replace God with something else in our desires and contentment. Oh, so well put. Let me ask it this way. I'm going to assume, for the sake of the argument, you love the Lord. I'm going to assume that you worship the Lord. Okay, now, here's the test. I will be truly satisfied and content. I will be truly, truly content and satisfied with Jesus Christ only if He would give me blank. Would you fill in the blank for me? You worship the Lord, amen. You may even say you love the Lord, amen, amen. But let's be honest. If there's something in you, something that you're experiencing in your heart and it's missing, and I will be truly, truly more content and more satisfied with Jesus Christ only if He would give me, only if I had blank. What would it be? What would it be? What would it be? For some of you, would it be, I love the Lord, I believe in the Lord, I put my trust in the Lord, but I am not 100% content and satisfied with my life. Only if He would give me a spouse, then I'll be truly content. Or is the blank for you? I will be content and satisfied in Jesus only if He would give us a baby. Or is the blank for you? I will be satisfied and content only if the Lord gave me more money or better job or whatever. Let me put it this way. You want something, you need something, you desire something, and you don't have it, and it's killing you. That is covetousness. Idolatry is this. When you say, Jesus Christ is not enough. That is the ultimate idolatry. But it's so subtle, so stealth, you don't see it. So often we think of idolatry as something out there, so ungodly. But the most dangerous form of idolatry is when you turn a good thing into the ultimate thing. Mm-hmm. Listen carefully. The most dangerous form, the most lethal expression of idolatry is when you turn a good thing into the ultimate thing. I'm not talking about worshiping other gods. I'm not talking about making images and bowing down. I mean, that's so blatant. You don't do that. But what you do, what I am so prone to do, is turning a good thing into the ultimate thing. As in, is spouse. Is having a spouse a good thing? Yes, it is. But when you turn that into the ultimate thing, is having a baby a good thing? Yes, it is. It's a blessing. But when you turn that good thing into the ultimate thing, that becomes idolatrous. Is money a good thing? Yes, money is a good thing. But when you turn that into the ultimate thing, then it becomes a most dangerous form of idolatry. Test. Here's the acid test. Can you truly, truly, in honesty and integrity, be honest with yourself? Can you truly, truly say, Jesus Christ is enough for me today? Today. He is enough for me, period. Not, He will be enough for me if He gave me blank. No. Can you truly say, I desire nothing else alongside of Christ. He is sufficient for me. Listen, idolatry is having or something in which you trust in place of or alongside of the only true God for your identity, write that word, identity, security, and destiny. Identity. When I was in the university years ago, I was a very, very young Christian at the time. Yeah? Now, all my friends in the university, they were pre-med, engineering, and pre-law. And most of them, when they graduated, they got fantastic jobs. Like, fresh out of the university, they were receiving job offers equivalent to $80,000, starting salary, $80,000 a year. And guess how I felt? I felt, I am nobody. What's my self-worth? We all need to gain our self-worth from something, right? And if that something, whatever gives your identity and self-worth, if that is not God alone, Christ alone, that is a form of idolatry. You may say, I am not a mother. I am not a spouse. And therefore, my identity is not 100% founded in Christ alone. Or security. Isn't it true? When you open your bank account, and you see how much you have in your savings, how much you have in your checking account, how much you have in your retirement funds. And you go, ah, yeah, you do. There's that sense of, ah. Or when you look at your portfolio and your retirement funds and you go, oh no, both examples give you where your security lies. Or destiny. It's about purpose. You need purpose. The reason you were born, the reason you were created, the reason you have air in your lungs is for you to bring glory to Jesus Christ. He is your destiny. But do you at all, sometimes or often, do you believe in Jesus? Do you worship God so that He may bless you? In which case, you are making Jesus Christ a means to an end. You are the center of the universe. The purpose of your life is to be happy, and everyone needs to serve you. Everybody needs to give you this happiness to you. Friends, unless Christ is your source of identity, your self-worth, in Christ, you become a child of God. And that is most important to you. And therefore, you have confidence in yourself worth, not in what you have accomplished or what you have performed, but in your identity, whose you are. In Christ, you have security. No matter what happens today, no matter what happens tomorrow, Jesus Christ will provide for me. I am sufficiently satisfied and content in Him. Destiny, purpose. My purpose is to bring glory to Him. I live for Him. And therefore, I am 100% satisfied. A really famous rabbi put it this way. The Bible is God's cure for our idolatry. So well put. So biblically and theologically correct. Bible is God's what? His cure, His answer to our disease, idolatry. Let me take you to Mark chapter 10. Listen, verse 17. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not fraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. This is so, so poignant. This young man, okay? In Matthew's gospel and also Luke's gospel, this man is described as a young, rich ruler. He had everything. He had influence, he had fame, he had honor, he was pious, and he had the money, he had wealth, and he was also religious. It's like perfect man. He comes to Jesus. He says, good teacher, how do I get saved? How do I receive the eternal life? Jesus answers the question with a question, right? What does the scripture say? And then he quotes, he reads off, did you notice? The Ten Commandments. Commandment 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then all the listeners, the crowd, they're all anticipating, is Jesus going to say the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet? He doesn't. He omits it. He waits because here's the man's response. Good teacher, I have kept all the 10 commandments since I was a boy. I adhere to the commandments. I obeyed God. I was faithful. And then Jesus Christ drops the bomb. You still lack one thing. And what is that? You have not fulfilled. You have not been living in true freedom. Because you do not fulfill. You do not obey. You do not live. You do not value the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. Most interesting, most interesting. Listen, listen, listen. The 10th commandment is, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant or his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Friends, the 10th commandment, coveting is not simply do not covet your neighbor's possessions. It's worse than that. Jesus is talking about money or wealth. The rich man fell sad. His face fell sad. And he went away because he had great wealth. Question for you. Is it true or false that the Bible says money is the root of all evil? Oh, I set you up, didn't I? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. What it does say is the love of money is the root of all evil. Let me take you to 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Here it goes. Here it comes. Verse 10. For the love of money is root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And that's what Jesus was pointing out in this young rich ruler. He loved money. And because of that, he was breaking the 10th commandment. And because of that, he was breaking the first commandment. And because of that, he was breaking the biggest sin of them all. Idolatry. Idolatry. He was committing the sin of idolatry. Commandments 2 through 9, they're the application of how true people live, because they do not worship idols in their lives. They do not have other things in their lives alongside of God from which they have gained their identity, security, and destiny. They can say, Jesus is enough, period. Love of money. The largest currency bill in Canada is how much? Not 50, not 100. I was kind of shocked too. $10,000. $10,000. Okay? Now, friends, because I wanted to illustrate, make a point, this is a fake money, not real money. Okay? Now, this is how I know. Money means nothing. Money, this $10,000, this is a piece of paper. Listen. It's a piece of paper. But you say, but what the piece of paper stands for, that's something else, isn't it? And real money, I hold in my hands a U.S. $100 bill. The inscription is none other than Mr. Benjamin Franklin. This Ben, is worth, in Canadian dollars, $128.18 as of today. Do you love this? It's a piece of paper. But do you love what it stands for? Do you love what it can give you? The smell of money. The feel of money. Oh, I wish I had thousands of bens in my possession. It's a piece of paper. But what's so powerful about this piece of paper is what it can give you. What can it give you? What can it give you? I'll tell you. Your self-worth. Your self-worth. That's right. Doesn't it? It gives you a sense of identity, because you measure your self-worth your self-esteem, who you are, is measured by how much you make. Your security, isn't it true? When you have tens of these in your account, you just feel secure. And when you don't have them, you feel insecure. What about destiny, purpose? Why do you work so hard for money? Because money gives you your destiny. You think, this life is about you. I fall into that trap myself. We all do. And this is why Jesus is saying, I must set you free so that you be content with me. On the back of this $100 bill, you know what it says? In God we trust. In God we trust. How ironic that we set this money right alongside, next to, beside Jesus Christ as the source of our worth, security, and destiny. So let's get to the cure part. How does Jesus cure us? How does he set us free from this temptation of love of money? Philippians 4, verse 11. Words of the Apostle Paul. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content, satisfied in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. What's the secret? What's the secret? This has to be learned. It doesn't come to us naturally. It needs to be revealed to us, and we need to be taught in it, and then we got to learn how to live this out and apply it time after time. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I have learned the secret to be content and satisfied. Jesus Christ is enough for me. Period. I believe the Apostle Paul, time after time, called upon Christ as the source of his identity, his value, his worth as a person. I am a child of God. Christ created me. I belong to him. He owns me. I am his. And that's the foundation, the solid bedrock upon which I gain my self-worth. Not in what I do, not in what people say I am. In Christ alone. Security. Listen, Hebrews 13. Keep your lives free. Here we go again. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? Where does your security come from? Because God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals, what can men do to me? What can poverty do to me? What can unemployment do to me? What can wars do to me? Because God will provide for me. He will never, 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 in Greek grammar, this mood, this tense is, I will never, 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 ever, 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 never, never, never leave you. I am your security. The Apostle Paul kept saying, my destiny, I live for Jesus. To die is to gain, because Christ is mine all in all. He is not a means to an end. I'm not going to obey and do his works so that he can bless me. No, I am here to serve him. So no matter what happens, my purpose in life is everlasting, eternal. And that's how the Apostle Paul learned the secret of being content and satisfied in Jesus Christ. Let me take you to John Piper. He writes, We kill the sin of covetousness by believing God's promises, as in Hebrews 13, that God will provide whatever we need to do His will and give Him glory. Again, he writes, that is, we kill the sin of covetousness by being satisfied with all that God promised to be for us through Jesus Christ. This is the great battle, to be satisfied in God alone. One of most light and memorized Bible verses is Psalm 37, verse 4. Guess what it says? Do you know? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I used to think what that meant was this. If I am satisfied in God, if I covet God, if I desire God, if I want God, if I serve God, if I worship God, then He will give me what I desire. That's what I used to think. But that's not what it means. You know what it means? When I delight myself in the Lord, when God, I find God, Jesus Christ, satisfying, He will give me the desires of my heart, which is Jesus, meaning He changes my desires. I used to think in worldly things, stuff, or spouse, or a baby, or employment, or benefits. No. Delight yourself in the Lord. And that delight, Jesus Christ, is what my heart desires. Do you see that? Friends, let me land the plane by just giving two applications. Okay? Number one, again, fill in the blank. I don't have this, and I want it, I covet it, and it's killing me. What is that? Take it before the Lord Jesus and ask Him to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to see how sufficient Christ is for you, period. Ask the Holy Spirit, may I experience that Jesus Christ is enough. Nothing else will satisfy me the way He does. Ask for it. Second, most of us, in fact, all of us, this idolatry of covetousness in the form of loving money, because money is our number one candidate for idolatry. Number one. That's why Jesus preached against love of money more than anything else in the Bible. He preached, taught against the love of money more than sex, more than hell, more than all of those two combined. Why? Because money competes, love of money competes against God in our souls. So friends, here's the acid test. Do you love the Lord? Do you say Christ is alone, is sufficient for you? Do you really confess that Christ will provide for you? Then prove it. How? Show Him that you do not worship money. Show Him that you do not find identity, security, destiny in money. And the only way for you to show that and prove this is your generosity. Do you bring to the Lord Jesus Christ, "You are sufficient for me. You are enough for me. I don't worship money. Here, let me prove it to you." Let this be a convicting message if you profess to be a disciple of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the freedom for which You set us free. We are free indeed. And now, we remain in that true freedom as we abide in your Ten Commandments. May people see us, may they recognize us as free people, and may this be an encouragement, an inspiration to others to follow Jesus. Help each and every one of us to examine his or her heart, whether or not we are serving you or serving money or something else. May we be convicted. May you receive all the glory. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.